Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I really got, I guess you could call it an unusual message. It's not really, but it, title of my message is Resisting the Devil. You know, I think it was the first of the year, around the first of the year, might have been January, Pastor Debbie Davis was here and preached on rebuking the devil. That was a good message, if you remember it. And I'm going to talk about resisting him today. You know, the devil doesn't want you to see the whole picture of how he's defeated. You know, a lot of people, if you just see part of the picture, you don't see the whole thing, you know. You know, I've talked about like the live stream here. You know, when you watch the live stream at church, all you see is part of the middle section of the church. You don't see the side sections. You don't see that side section, a little bit of this. You don't see the lobby. You don't see the children's classrooms, the offices. You don't see you don't see a lot of things. You just get a picture. And, you know, you could think, well, is that all there is to the church? Well, how many know? There's a whole lot more. You just got to see it. Mm-hmm. And the devil doesn't want us to know he's defeated, but he's defeated. Amen? So let's go in our Bibles. First of all, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. You got it? Let's begin verse 5. The Bible says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, why would that be? Well, here's why that would be. Because if they're older than you, they've been places you haven't been before. It takes you a little while to learn that, you know. But as you get older, as you grow, you start learning, you know, hey, Dad kind of knew what he was talking about. Right? You know, I think it was Mark Twain that said something like that when he was 14, his old man was, they called him his old man, was so stupid he couldn't hardly stand to be around him. He said, it's amazing how much he learned by the time I was 21. I mean, no, it's just that, you know, here's the thing, is that a lot of the mistakes that young people make, we made them before you did. So we already know. And so it would save you a lot of knocks and bumps and lumps along the way if you just pay attention and listen. You know, a lot of times we get this generational, well, you're just old, you don't know, you know. You're just old, you know. You don't know what's cool and all. Hey, we wrote the book on cool. How many are 60s, 70s people? I mean, we wrote the book on cool, man. You guys are still learning off us. What are you talking about? Amen. We were so cool, we were stupid. Amen. You know, because we wasn't listening either. But you know, in the church, the younger, and in life, but in the church, the younger ought to listen to the elder. You know what I'm saying? See, I mean, I've spent my life listening to older preachers. You know, now it's getting harder and harder to find some older than me now, but there's still some left. You know, but praise God. Why? Because they've been someplace I haven't been before. Amen? You know, Dad tells you don't have to peel out every time you take off. But you still do because it's his car. But once it's your car and you start buying the tires, it's like you don't have to peel out every time you take off. Brother Hagin said one time, you know, his son Ken Jr., you know, Brother Hagin's in heaven now, but his son, when they were young, when Ken Jr. was young, he would drive their car and he'd peel out, you know, in Dad and Mom's car. And so finally got his own car. So Brother Hagin said, well, let's go for a drive, son. He said, I got in there and he said, I kicked it to the floor and just peeled the tires. He goes, wait a minute, Dad, whoa. See, it's his car now, see. Yeah. See. Well, that's what Peter's talking about. You know, younger, just submit to the elder because they probably know something that you don't know yet. Now, you may think you're the all-knowing and wise and all that, but you still got some growing to do. Amen? Amen. And, you know, let's just transfer that spiritually. How many think that maybe some older ministers have been places some younger ministers haven't? How many think maybe pastors have been some places that maybe sheep haven't? See, so we got to learn this principle because God's big on this. Now, notice he said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, all of us, be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. How many clothes is something you can see? So if you got it on, you can see it. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know what resist means? He opposes the proud. Amen. I mean, you don't want God opposing you. We're talking about resisting the devil. We don't want God resisting us, right? Right. I mean, that's bad when God resists you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. God resists the proud, or in other words, he opposes the proud. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. Now, here's what I want to get to, these two verses. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Everybody say may. Now, you know, may, I've taught about this, taught on this before, but I want to bring it up again. May is a permission word. May doesn't mean he's just devouring everybody. He's seeking whom he may devour. So that means he has to get permission. Right? Now, you know, who gives him permission? Well, it's us, but we don't sometimes know we're giving him permission to do it. But the more we learn how to not give him permission. Amen. Like Pastor was talking about, if you don't tithe, you're giving the devil permission to devour your finances. Amen. Because God's the rebuker of the devourer when you tithe. So you don't want to do that. So my pastor said this, Dr. Berkeley, one time. I wrote this down and got it in my notes somewhere. He said it's something like this. He said, you know, you can either let the rebuker of the devourer receive your tithe or let the devourer have it. I'm going to take the rebuker of the devourer, right? Amen. So he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about. What's he doing? What's he doing? I said, what's he doing? He's seeking whom he may devour. So that means may, permission. Like if I come to your house and I say, you know, hey, can I have a bottle of water? Well, I'm asking. I don't just go in your refrigerator and get it, you know. Well, if I'm Pastor Jerry's house, I do because he eats everything I have. Yeah, it tells me it's good. Yeah, I can't. He went to my house, I forget, one time. We weren't there yet. And just go on in, and I come on in. There's wrappers, candy wrappers all around his chair. So glad you feel at home, brother. Anyway, now. He's seeking whom he may devour. That means he's not just devouring everybody, but he wants to. Now, notice the next verse, whom resists. What's that mean? Stand against him. In the faith. Everybody say in the faith. In the faith. So what's that mean? That means we're going to have to use our faith to stand against him. Now, if you don't, see, guess what? If you don't stand and resist, then you're one of the ones he may devour. He'll just devour if you let him. You can say, well, I'm a Christian. I go to Oasis Church. You know, I sing I Got the Power. You can do all that, but if you don't resist him, then he'll just devour you. Amen. And we're going to talk about that. You got to resist him, amen? Amen? He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What is he saying? Well, everybody that's a believer, he's trying to devour everybody. It's not just you. Right, amen? You know, I don't know why. Phyllis thinks this is kind of, I don't know. She said, I don't know why people get comfort out of this. When you find out somebody else is going through the same thing you're doing, you're going through, you know, and you get, oh, man, I'm glad somebody else is going through this. She thinks that's kind of sick, you know. But I don't know. It is good to know sometimes there's nothing wrong with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the point that, you know, I'm not just, you know, I'm not the only one. That didn't give you any comfort at all? Maybe it is kind of sick. I don't know. But anyway, you know, it's good to know that, you know what I'm saying. You know, because sometimes, you know, we talk to pastors, you know, like when this coronavirus thing hit, you know, and churches, the attendance just went, it just went belly up, you know. And you know, ours did too, you know. I mean, well, there for a while, we only had 10 people, but because that's all they let us have. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, when people started coming back, a lot of people didn't come back, and a lot of people still haven't come back, and so forth and all that. And, you know, you think, am I the only one? And then you hear about another brother, and he says, no, half of my people. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You got a friend in the ministry. He canceled a meeting because he said, you know, he had like a, was it 3 or 4 day meeting that was coming up. He canceled it because he said, half my church doesn't come now. Well, you know what? Listen, half, he's got 1,500 to 2,000 people. I'm thinking, I'll take half your church and have revival. Come on, bro. What's wrong with you? Have a meeting. What are you talking about? Half your church is not coming now. Half your most pastors would like to have half your church. But anyway, it's all relative, isn't it? Amen. Now, so you whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now go to James chapter 4. It's real close. James chapter 4, because I want to just develop this a little bit. I'm going to try to get through all this today. We'll just see. But how many know, the church has power it doesn't know about. Right. Did you know the Bible even teaches this in Thessalonians? Paul says that there's somebody that's withholding the Antichrist from coming. Mm-hmm. You ever read that? Mm-hmm. Only he who now restrains or hinders will hinder until he's taken out of the way. Now, you get a lot of people that have a lot of ideas about who that somebody is. You know, people say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, no, the Holy Spirit's not being taken out of the earth ever. Right. Never. Never. Right? Right. See, sometimes we think he came on the day of Pentecost. He came on the day of Pentecost in another dimension. Right. He was already here. Right. He was in here in the Old Testament. He was here in the beginning. The Spirit of God moved on. He's not being taken out of the earth. All right? So when you look at that and you study that in 2 Thessalonians, what Paul says, you know, the wicked will be revealed, only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's the church. See, once the church is raptured out, then the Antichrist will be able to take over. But not until the church. Jesus called us the salt. Salt hinders corruption, doesn't it? Right? It doesn't necessarily stop it, but it slows it down. See, that Antichrist spirit's working in the earth. See, it's working real strong in our country. I don't want to use the word amazing. It's grievous how much that spirit has advanced in the last 10 years in our world, in our country. Oh, yeah. Antichrist, against Christ. And really, anti means against and in place of, tries to take the place of Christ. Amen. I mean, we got politicians who run for office that are antichrist, and they get voted in. I mean, see, that spirit's, it's, but yet, there's a force that's keeping the whole thing from coming forth. It's called the church. Now, when the church is gone, amen. Yeah. See, the best time to live for God on the earth is when the church is here. Yeah. You know, people say, well, if the rapture happens, I'm going to get saved. Well, if you ain't got enough juice to get saved with the church here, I doubt you got enough juice to get saved when the Antichrist is ruling. Right? Right. You know. So we have power. Now notice this. James chapter 4, verse number 6. He says, but he gives, that's God, he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How many want grace? Yes. I mean, you know, grace is something you want, right? Grace is enabling power, man. And so you want some of that, but God doesn't give that to the proud. In other words, you got to humble yourself. What does that mean, you got to humble yourself? Mean you got to think lowly of yourself? No. You got to think in line with what the Word says about you. You know, used to humility was like, I'm a worm, you know. I remember old Pentecost, you know. I'm a worm. You know, that doesn't mean you're humble. You're actually proud, you're a worm. You may, you know, just because you say you may think I'm wormier than you are. See, I'm a worm, but you're wormier than I am. Now, see, that's not it. You know, somebody said this once. Let me see if I can remember this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Now, what I've learned about God in humility is when God talks about humility, what he means by humility is you take him at his word, you humble your opinions, you humble your ideas, you humble how you feel about it, and you just take what he said as the gospel truth, because it is. That's humility. That's humbling yourself before God, right? Well, Father, I don't feel that way, and it doesn't look that way, and It doesn't sound that way, but if you say it's that way, it's that way. See, God gives grace to people like that. But if you got to have it your way, amen, God resists you. We don't want any resist. We don't want God resisting us, right? So this just, if he says to do something, how many know he knows what's right? What's humility with your kids? Think about that. What's humility with your kids? Is humility with your kids them coming up and say, Mom and Dad, I'm a worm. I'm just no good. I'm nothing. That's not humility with your kids. No. Humility with your kids is they obey your word. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, all right, verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now notice this. When God talks about us resisting the devil, he uses this, those two passages. He talks about humility and submission. How many remember the centurion whose servant was dying, was sick at home with the palsy? Remember that? Remember what he said? He said, Lord, Jesus started going to his house, and he said, don't even come under my roof, because I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. See, he wasn't a Jewish man. You understand that? So he wasn't even entitled to this. What Jesus tell his disciples? Go into all the cities of Israel, right? The Jews. Yes, that's what he told his disciples. Don't go into any other city. Go. It hadn't become full-blown new covenant yet. And right now, God's just given that message to the Jewish people. Remember the woman with the Syrophoenician? The Syrophoenician woman with the daughter that had the demon? What Jesus say to her? It's not right for me to give the children's bread and cast it to dogs? Why? You're not in covenant with God. Now, they were going to be, but they weren't yet. And so this man's not even in covenant with God, but he impressed Jesus with his faith so much. When he came to Jesus, he said, Lord, don't come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Amen.
And he said, he explained to Jesus why he said that. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. What's he saying to Jesus? He's saying, I understand how authority works. You have to first be under authority. You see, in other words, he's saying the only reason I can tell my servants, my soldiers to do things is because I'm under somebody else's authority. They've given me this authority, and I'm exercising it. And he was recognized. Jesus, I recognize you're under authority. You're under God's authority. You're under the Father's authority. And if you say something, it's done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have to make sure we're under authority. What does it mean to submit yourself to God? It just means to be obedient to God, to obey Him. Now, how many realize that there's no two perfect people in this world? There's only one. His name is Jesus. See, so nobody's perfect. So don't let the devil beat you over the head, because the Bible says there's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. But what God is concerned about is when we're in open rebellion against His Word. When we know something to be the truth and we just ignore it and won't do it. You know, God understands that we have flesh and we struggle. How many know that? Come on. See, them shoulder blades sticking out on your back, not wings yet. So God understands that. He understands that we're flesh. We still deal with issues. We still deal with things. And so, you know, but here's what He wants from us. He wants us to be resisting. He wants us to resist temptation. He wants us to resist the things that are of the devil. See, I don't care how spiritual you get, you're still going to have to keep your flesh in line. If the Apostle Paul had to, I'm convinced that we'll have to for a while yet. Right? Paul said, I keep my body under. He even said, I buffet it. Not buffet it, Pastor Jerry. Buffet it. I buffet it. And I beat it into subjection. I handle it roughly because I have to keep it under lest it disqualify me. See? So, you know, you got to understand, I don't know how to say this, but I'll just say it this way. You have to understand, you're not schizophrenic, but you have to understand, you were born again. The you that were born again was your spirit man. Yeah. Yeah. You still got that body that hadn't been, it hasn't received its redemption yet. Now, it's and what I mean by that, it hadn't received redemption. It's not been turned into a glorified body yet. And until that point, you have to keep it under. You have to make it behave, all right? So at times you may slip up, you may miss it, but what do? You just say, Lord, forgive me. I mean, you know, you may have ever said anything or done anything that you immediately were sorry for? Well, Miss Joanne has, the rest of you. Come up here and preach a little bit. Maybe they, have you understand? We all have, right? All right, but here's the thing. See, when the Bible talks about submission, it's not talking about we never miss it. There's nobody like that. But it's talking about we obey what God's Word says the best we know how, the best we know it. Amen? So we're submitted to God. See, because, you know, the devil uses that. Well, that's your problem. You're not submitted. I mean, look, you lost your temper through the drive-thru, you know, at McDonald's the other day. Well, can I tell you that I have too? No. Well, maybe not McDonald's. I don't go there very often, but some other place. Matter of fact, Sister Pastor Debbie, who came here years ago, we were all going through a drive-thru, you know. I forget what we were getting. We'd been at a meeting, and we were getting something to eat after the meeting. You know, we call it fellowship. And we were all in a van together, you know, and we're going through the drive, and this lady just irritated me to no end. I mean, she says, I had like 8 people, 9, 7 people, I don't know, I mean, in this van. And she goes, I can only take one order at a time. I said, lady, I got 7 people in this van. I can only take one order. I'll give it to you one order at a time. But there's more than one order in this van. She goes, that's the first time I've ever seen you get in the flesh. Well, it was the first time I ever had. But she just happened to be there. How many know it wasn't the first time, it's just the first time she'd seen it. See, we all have those things. Now I'm not saying, hey, they're okay. I'm just simply saying we still have flesh. Right? I think Peter missed it a time or two. Didn't he? Of course. What God's wanting is us to say, Lord, you're right. Your word's right. And that's my aim. That's my goal. That's what I'm going to live by. I may miss it at times, but I'm going to get back up and I'm coming right back after it again. I'm not going to rebel against your word. I may miss it sometimes, but I'm going to get back up with the intent on obeying your word. Amen? So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. You know, resist means to stand against him, and he will flee from you. He'll run from you. Amen. Now, let's go to, let me think where I want to go. Let me see here. Let's go. Are you getting something this morning? Let's go to Mark. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Let's go there. Mark chapter 11. We know this scripture pretty well. Let's go there. Mark chapter 11. Because Jesus basically said the same thing here in his teaching. Mark chapter 11. What am I saying to you? Here's what I'm saying. Don't allow things to stay in your life that are of the devil. Now, there's acceptable things, but anything that the church thinks are acceptable. What do you mean by that? Well, I think sickness is of the devil. I don't think any of it comes from God. He doesn't have any. It's all of the devil. And when it tries to get in my body or comes on my body, I shouldn't make a covenant with it and say, you can stay here. What should I do? I should resist it. I should resist sin. Right? I said, resist these things that are the curse. If you don't stand against them, then the devil will devour you in that area. See, what area you don't resist, he'll devour you in that area. So I resist that. I'm going to tell you some things personally here in just a little bit. I debated whether to share them, but I'm going to. I think it'll help you. Oh, you're awake now. Oh, well, sure does. You get too interested, and I might change my mind. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. He's like, yeah, man. Pastor going to air his dirty laundry. Lunch can wait. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, that's the answer to a lot of things right there. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. I mean, that's red letter. That's Jesus. Now, what did he say to do? He said, resist the mountain. Stand against it. Tell it where to go. See, things like that, you can tell where to go. People, you shouldn't tell where to go. Things like that, you can tell it where to go. See? This is something here. See, what do you say to do? How many know mountain represents your problem, right? Whatever that might be. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. It could be physical, family. It could be a lot of different things. That represents your problem, see, your mountain. What did Jesus say to do? He said, resist it. Don't just say you're okay, you can stay, I'll put up with you, you know. Amen. No, you don't do that, see. See, you stand against it. Come on, are you with me now? See that we use this teach on faith a lot, and it's a good scripture for faith, but how many of you got to stand against it? Now, listen. And he said, and it shall, notice this, he said, it shall come to pass. Well, how many know shall doesn't mean that it's necessarily like that. You remember when the devil came to Jesus in the Mount, what we call the Mount of Temptation, and, you know, he brought temptations to Jesus. Well, what did Jesus say? He said, it's written, right? It's written. And the devil left him, right? Well, he stood against him. He resisted that. But now here's the thing you got to know. When you read, I think it's Luke account, he says the devil left him for a season. What does that mean? He came back. He came back. We're not giving him any praise or any glory, but if you want to say one thing about the devil, he's good at being a devil. He's persistent. And you have to learn that you have power over him, and you have more ability to stand than he does, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, it's football season. I like football. Go Colts. You know, my Swans man is a Titans fan. And I've told him before, you know, he'll come up with this Titans thing on. I've told him, I said, take that thing off. So, you know, I got him a little gift card, you know, for Christmas. And I wasn't there when he came, so I just stuck it on the door. But I had Phyllis write on there, go Colts. I'm going to get him saved. You know. Colts got to win today, guys. Amen. Titans got to lose tonight to Green Bay, so Colts is number one in the division. You ever watch, you know, when that ball, when they're playing football, you ever watch when the ball gets loose, what happens? A bunch of heavyweight guys. They just pile on that thing. They jump on it, man. And that ball is small compared to them. But it doesn't bust. It doesn't pop. I've never seen, you know, how many ever saw that scramble? You know, when that ball gets, man, them guys will get in the bottom of that. You don't know what all is going on the bottom of that pile. You know, one guy said, I'll tell you what's going on the bottom of that pile, my next football player. He said, nothing. You can't move. They're all on top of you. But you'll see them, man. They're trying to grab that ball out. And I've never seen it come out flat. Here's why. Because the pressure inside the ball is greater than the pressure exerted from the outside. That's what John was saying when he said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We got greater pressure, if we just knew it, on the inside of us than what the world can exert on the outside. See? And so you have to understand, see, the devil's not done. He'll be back, but you do the same thing you did the first time. See, Jesus, in Luke, Jesus, he came to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever, said she had a great fever. And the Bible says they besought him for her. He went and stood over her and said he rebuked the fever. He stood against it. He resisted it. And what happened? The Bible says the fever left her. I heard one minister preaching on that one time. He said, he said, I was reading that. And he said, I read that Jesus stood over Peter's mother-in-law and rebuked the fever. And he said, I thought to myself, can fevers hear? He said, then I read, and it left her. He said, yep, fevers must be able to hear.
Amen.
See, life's problems can hear when you speak with authority.
Amen.
The Word of God. See,
yeah.
I'm talking about for your life, see. You know, you can't make my problems go away. I wish you could. You know what I'm saying? See, that's my own garden. I got to take care of it.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have authority in your life. Amen. Now, let's go Romans chapter 4. We're going to go through this fast. I just got one more scripture after this, but we'll move fast. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's go there. Because I think we have to understand that we're in a warfare.
Yeah.
See, the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare.
Right.
It says we don't war after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But our weapons they're not carnal, but they're mighty. Now, in Romans chapter 4, verse 19 is talking about Abraham, and it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, what does this have to do with resisting and standing in faith? Well, how many know Abraham had to stand for a long time, didn't he? Now think about how long he had to stand. 25 years. Everybody say 25 years. So Abraham resisted the problem for 25 years. I'm not saying you're going to have to resist the problem for 25 years. What I'm making a point is that you have to be willing to do what the Bible says. Notice what it says. It says he considered not his own body, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I found out that most people will not, hear the way I say this, most people will not consider not the problem. What does that mean, to consider not the problem? Does it mean we ignore the problem? No, you ignore the problem. Ignoring the problem, you still got the problem. What it means to consider not the problem means that you don't give it final authority in your life. If some problem comes into my life, that's not the final authority. That's not the final word on it.
That's right.
Amen? So you have to be willing to consider not your own problem. His problem was his body. You know, when you're 100 years old and you're wanting to have a child and your wife's 90, you do have a problem. And so what happens is many people, if they don't see results immediately, they stop resisting. I mean, I've been at this a long time. I've had to deal with people over the years. We've had them leave the church over things. You know, it's like, I thought this worked. I've been doing what you said for 2 weeks. Well, listen, some things leave in 2 weeks. Some things leave in 1 day, right? Some things leave in 2 days. I mean, I remember a guy he just totally backslid on the Lord because of this. He eventually came back to God, thank God. But the thing of it is, see, I'm not his problem. The devil's his problem. And if he just listened, I never told him the thing would leave in 1 day. I never told him it'd leave in 2 days. I never told him it'd leave in 3 days. I didn't tell him when it'd leave. I just said, you resist it and it'll work.
That's right.
I won't back down from that because that's what the Bible says. Resist the devil. If you do it the way the Bible said, he'll flee from you.
Right.
So it could be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, a week, two weeks, 3 weeks, four, a month. I don't know. I have no idea. You may have something come on your life, some kind of physical attack, sickness or something. It may take a little longer. I had one for 2 months. But 1 day it left. But I had to stay with it. I had to stay with it. Well, first of all, how many know you have to know that healing belongs to you?
Well,
see, I'm preaching to you. You know that. But see, some people live stream might not even know healing belongs to you. That God wants you healed all the time. Well, I thought he just wanted, you know, maybe if it was his will. Well, how could you ever pray the prayer of faith? And the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. How could you ever pray the prayer of faith if you didn't know what the will of God was? You couldn't. I mean, if I said, you know, hey, guess what? I'm going to give away $100 today. If I said that. How many know? You can't really have faith it's going to be you. It might be you. It might not. Now, if I say I'm going to give $100 away to everybody in this sanctuary, and I'm going to use Brother Kenny's money. I love giving his money away. Hallelujah. How many know now that changes the dynamics totally? Why? Because I've said it's everybody's. Now you can have faith. Well, if God said, I heal some people and I don't, there's no way you could have faith for you to be healed. Because you might be one of them he don't. Pardon my English. But when he says it's for whosoever will, that's everybody. Amen. Let's go to one last scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. We'll close right here. Ephesians chapter 4. Come on, did you get a nugget out of this? We have to resist everything that's of the devil. We have to resist it. See, it didn't say God would resist it. It said we have to. God's already, now you know, obviously we know it's His power that delivers us. But we have to do what He said to tap into it. Amen. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there. Got it? Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Now, when the Bible here, when it talks about giving place, it means don't give him any territory. Right. Don't surrender any ground to him. Yeah. See? Neither give him any place. In other words, to me, that's saying to me this, resist him on all fronts. Amen? Don't give him any ground. Now listen to this, don't ever give up. Amen. Now here's what I was going to tell you. Okay. A few weeks ago, I'm just talking about don't give the devil any ground. Don't submit. Don't give up. Don't give anything to him. Amen. A few weeks ago, I began having some symptoms in my body. And, you know, different kinds. Not coronavirus. Oh, my gosh. Put your mask on, Pastor. But I began having dizziness. I began having different symptoms. I began having fatigue and dizziness. I began having my mind was just like in a fog. I just couldn't think clear. Just how many know what I mean by fog? Okay. Some of you are looking like, yeah, I know, Pastor. Your mind's been in a fog for a while. Let me know what I mean by that. You know, I just, man, something's not right here. And this went on for a period of time. Finally, one day, Phyllis said to me, why don't you check your blood pressure? I said, okay. So I put the cuff thing on and checked it. It was almost 200. You don't know much about blood pressure, do you? 200 is like, hit the couch, man. And I thought, whoa, that's high. That's probably why I have these symptoms. Now, here's what I knew. Now, listen to me. See, I've always taught you balance about faith and medicine, right? See, I've never told you to throw away your medicine, because here's why you don't throw away your medicine. Because if you throw away your medicine before your body receives its healing, your body's going to whack out. Right? I'm believing I'm healed from sugar diabetes. Well, just keep taking your insulin until you don't need it. Because if not, your body doesn't know it yet. Maybe you got it in your heart, maybe it's in your spirit, but until it manifests in your body's got to have some help. So when I saw that, I thought, wait a minute here, I can't go walking around on the streets like this. This is for weeks to come, this is a time bomb. I either got to get healed immediately or get this down right now. So I went to a doctor. I didn't have a doctor. I don't have a family doctor. I didn't, because I didn't need a family doctor. I'm not against doctors. If you don't need a doctor, you don't need a doctor. The last doctor I had, his name was Dr. Hall. He's long gone. So I haven't had one since I was 12 years old. Why? I haven't been sick. I didn't need one. I don't mean I've never had the symptoms and stuff, but not to need a doctor. So, you know, for the most part, I've never needed a doctor. Maybe a couple times or so I went to one of those clinics for something. But I need a family doctor, so I have to find a family doctor, you know. So, I on some recommendations from some of you here in church, you told me about a doctor, you know, and I went to that doctor, you know, and I really like this doctor. I don't want to go see him very often, but I really liked him. He's really good. He's actually the one next door. And the guy is really good. I mean, about the second question he asked me, you know, he comes in, what do you do? I said, I pastor the church next door. And the next question he asked me, how long you been born again or saved? How long you been saved? I said, this guy knows what he's talking about because, you know, unchurched people and even religious people, they don't use the word saved. That's for saved people. So we could talk, man. I mean, he's born again, man. He's, you know. So anyway, so I get some medicine off of him. Now here's when I start taking the medicine, okay? All right, but here's the thing, all right? See, I did that because my body needed some help right at the moment. You got that? But I'm not content with taking medicine the rest of my life. I'm not giving the devil that ground. You understand what I'm saying? So what are you doing? I'm saying it. My blood pressure is normal in Jesus' name without any medicine. I rebuke you, high blood pressure. I resist this thing. Get out of my life. See, the other day when I told you I had something going on, I was giving it 30 days to get out of town. Well, you know, my prescription's for 30 days. Once that's out, I don't want any more of that stuff. Now don't read into this what I'm saying. I'm not saying medicine's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong to take medicine. If you need it, take it. What I'm saying is, this is just me personally. You can do you do whatever you feel led to do. But me personally, I'm not giving that ground to the devil because that medicine's not healing my high blood pressure. I still got the problem, and I'm not living with it. See, that's called resisting the devil. You can't stay in my body. And I speak, you can't stay here. You're not welcome here. I didn't invite you in. You know, maybe I need to do some things in the natural, like lose 25 pounds. Now, I understand. I got that, that you got, sometimes you have to do some things, maybe, if God leads you to do that, or if it's just, you just need to do it, you do it. But at the same time, I'm not giving me ground. He's not leaving his stuff on my doorstep.
That's right.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, when's it going to go? It's going to go. I don't know when it's going to go, but it's going to go.
Yes. Amen.
See what I'm saying? See, you can just settle. You can give place. How do you give place to the devil? You make a pact with him and settle with him and say, well, I'll just put up with that.
Right.
I'm not putting up with that. Come on, are you with me this morning? I'm not putting up with that. You're not staying here. Now, I'm not going to be foolish and go off the medicine until I don't need it. You know, I'll check my blood pressure when it's getting a little lower than it should and stuff like that. I'll know, well, I don't need you anymore, and well, I'm off of you. You're out of here. Amen? See, I'm just talking about one area. This is just a physical area, but how many know you could do this in a lot of areas where you just make a pact with the devil. You don't realize you're doing it, but it's just like, well, I give up. Don't give up on anything.
Right.
I said, don't give up on anything. Abraham and Sarah didn't give up. Praise God.
Amen.
At 100 years old and 90, they had a child because they didn't quit. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. It'd be easy for me to just say, oh, you know, I'm tired of confessing the word. I'm tired of rebuking this blood pressure, this high blood pressure. I'm tired of doing that. Well, God's not going to be mad at me. I'm going to heaven, but I just gave up. I just gave place to the devil and said, you can leave this on my body. No, you can't. It can't stay. Maybe I'm strange, but I just think malfunctions like that don't have any right in my body. I'm healed. Amen. Now, I'll do what I need to do to make sure my body doesn't whack out. But I'm not going to let it stay. You have to be that way with the devil. See, I'm just talking about something physical. There's a lot of other things besides healing. But you're not staying here.
That's right.
Say, well, the devil's got a hold of my children. Well, you're in covenant with God. Just stand. Just stand. Amen.
Amen.
Cast them over on the Lord.
Yes.
Well, the devil's gotten my marriage. Well, don't just let him stay there. Right. Start resisting him. Start
yes.
kicking him out. Don't wait for God to do it. God's already given you the power to do it.
Right.
Are you with me now? People say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, no. See, that's wrong. Just waiting on the Lord. Because he's already done something.
Right.
He's given you authority. You just say, no, you can't stay here. I'm not telling you he's going to, I'm telling you tomorrow. I wish it did work. I wish that you said that and then tomorrow everything was okay. Utopia had arrived. But I've just learned life that it just doesn't normally work that way. You know, a lot of times we can do that for baby Christians, but we get older. More is required out of us. We've got to be more accurate, more precise. And so we just stay with it. Hallelujah. We just stay with it. So resist the devil and he will what? He'll flee from who? You, right? Not Jesus, we know it's God's power, but it's you that have to do it. And it didn't say flee from Jesus or flee from God, like the old Pentecost used to say, Lord, rebuke the devil. Remember that? They told, rebuke the devil. They take that scripture where Michael, said, the Lord rebuke you. Well, that was Michael. That wasn't a born-again, spirit-filled believer with the authority of Jesus walking on this earth. It's up to us to rebuke him. Say, no, you can't stay here with your sickness. You can't stay here with your lack, like Pastor Jerry was talking about. You can't stay here with that stuff. You may be here, but you're not staying here.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Every now and then I get something in my... I'm closing. Come on, did you get something today?
Yes.
Every now I get something in my yard. Now, I like a nice yard. How many know that? I work on my grass. I know if there's a weed out there, I can spot it 3/4 mile away. And here comes the gun. You're out of here. So, and every now and then I get something called voles. Now, voles are sort of like a mole, but they're not a mole. They don't raise the ground up, but they tunnel underground. And they just eat the roots of the grass. And you just see the trail where they have gone. Yeah. They're called a vole. Whenever I see a vole, I start hunting for a hole because I know he's got a hole somewhere where he went under that ground. I don't just say, oh my, isn't that awful? I like a nice yard, but the voles are here and there's nothing we can do. Oh, there's something I can do. I'm coming after him. I'll stand over that hole and I'll say, in the best John Wayne voice I can find, vole! Come out of there, or I'm coming in after you. But what I really have to do is I've got these little pellets. I just pour it down in the hole, right the hole, down in the hole. What I know is he's going to eat those things, and then he's going to heaven. But I'm going to fight him, man. Come on, man. He's not staying, because what? This is my yard. Amen. This is my yard. You picked the wrong yard to get in, Mr. Vole. My neighbor might let you stay in his, but you're not staying here. Matter of fact, don't tell anybody, but my neighbor had one in his, and I couldn't stand that, so I went over and put stuff in his. Just in case he thought my yard was okay, too. Did you get something today? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.